Let us turn to the Word of God once again. First Samuel 20. And you, as you have it before you, let us bow again in prayer. Our Lord and our God, we ask that Thou wilt make Thy Word live and cause it to bring forth faith in our hearts, that we might trust the Savior alone, His finished work alone, for our salvation. Bless it, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Well, we come to this portion of God's Word. Such an interesting passage that we have read together. Here were two best friends speaking. They were so concerned for one another. David and Jonathan. Jonathan couldn't believe it, what he had heard, that David's life was in danger. And what a father did Jonathan have? Saul. King Saul. What opportunities Saul had. How he had been chosen of God to be the king over Israel. He had prophets, he had the word of God, and yet he did not believe. David truly was the best friend that King Saul had. But the tragedy is that the king did not know it to be so. He didn't feel David was his friend. He was jealous. You see, David was a brave young man. He was skillful. And above all, he had great faith in God. He had great faith when he confronted that enemy of Israel, Goliath. When everyone laughed, when Saul did not believe that he could slay Goliath, he had trust in the Lord. And the nation was delivered from extermination and from destruction. And that made Saul to be so jealous. People sang the songs of praise for David. And that made Saul very jealous. And so what did Saul do? Instead of making David his right-hand man and his help, he chased him. He ran after him. He wanted to kill him. And David knew it from the start. But Jonathan didn't. So he's surprised here. When David tells him, your father is to kill me. That's what he's purposed. And he says these words in verse 3 that I want to take as my text. He says, there is but a step between me and death. There is but a step between me and death. David here is fully conscious of the danger that he is in. David expresses this sense that he has in these words. He is alarmed by it. He felt deep within his soul that he is to die. And it is good for us, my friends, to be aware of the dangers that we are in. And we ought to think seriously about our life. The things that threaten us. The things that threaten our lives. Maybe you are concerned this evening. Well, my friends, take courage from here. It says that there is a step between him and death. And yet, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is a step between us and life. That is what Christ offers. Life. Jonathan, Saul's son, was David's closest friend. And he found it to be incredible that David was saying such words, that his life was in danger. He was amazed at the idea that David had about his father. He had not seen it. He had not seen the jealousy. And so on. But later on, he was assured of this. Later on, he found out about this. When he saw the reaction of Saul, King Saul, and saw how he was jealous and how he hated, then he knew that David was right. In verse 31, we read, "Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die." That's how Saul spoke to Jonathan. Go and get him. David is going to die. And so Jonathan saw this. Saul's wicked intentions against David. And even Saul cast a javelin at Jonathan to slay him. And he thought, if he does that with me, surely he will kill my best friend. So we read, "Wherefore Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David." So it was right. David was right when he had said, "There is but a step between me and death." What David felt and expressed regarding his circumstances we should hear, and we should ask ourselves and put it to ourselves about our spiritual condition. Because that's what the scripture also teaches us, that our life is only a step away from eternity, a step away from the presence of God. That is what the scripture says. And I hope that you carefully listen this evening. Here was a man, David, concerned for his soul. Oh, are you concerned for your soul? It is a serious matter here. There is but a step between me and death. It underlines spiritual concern that we ought to have about our soul. And so let us think through what took place and apply it spiritually in the words of the gospel. And as you think about it, think, in the gospel, salvation is near. Salvation is brought near to you. But without the gospel, sin brings us a step away from death. That's what sin does. But in Jesus Christ, He brings to us eternal life. So think about these things. First of all, I want to speak about the strength of David's concern. The strength of his concern. Taking David's case, he had valid reasons to believe that his death may have been only a step away. His words refer directly to the situation that had developed out of Saul's hatred for him. And due to that man's jealousy and troubled mind, Saul had already tried to slay David. He had tried to kill David. And Saul is a picture, as it were, of sin. Tries to kill us. Tries to murder us. Tries to take us away from the Lord. Attacking. And David was, to this point, when he said this, without Jonathan realizing, he had tried to kill David for twice already. In the previous chapters, we see that. And he was hunting him like an animal. Hunting David down. My friends, sin runs after us to entice us, to tempt us, to take us away from the right path, to divert our attention, to cause us to focus on other things. And so, even in David's life, as he was being followed by Saul, at times he was diverted. At times he lost sight of where he was going. At times he lost heart. And so here he thought he was going to die. The predominating features of his life at the time could not have led him to believe otherwise, that he would live. So this man's concern was strong. Are you concerned strongly about your soul? Am I concerned about my soul? And so there is this ever-present feature in human life in general, which when they are combined, it shows us, it reveals to us the very fact that David was here observing. David already was seeing that there is but a step between us, our soul, and death. And it is important to note at once that every feature of life reminds us of that there is but a short step between us and death. That exists, and there is this entrance of sin into the life of man. The Bible speaks about this. Why is it that we die? Why is it that our soul leaves our bodies? Why? The Scripture says this in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. We read, by one man sin entered into the world. By one man sin entered into the world. Adam's willful disobedience brought sin. And all the penalties that would come to all the rest of the mankind. So we read, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So that is why there is always this step, short step between us and death. That is why there is uncertainty in our lives. And so there is this penalty that has been inflicted to the entirety of the human race, because Adam was the representative. He was the head of the whole of human race. And when he sinned, we sinned with him. You may say, well, I don't fully understand it. Who can fully understand these things? But they are true. This is what the Bible says. And we experience it. That is why every single person in the world sins. That is why we say, well, I am a human. And people rightly say, I'm not perfect. And that is true. But if you just go back to find out the source of it, where did it all begin? You find it in the fall of Adam. That's the source. And where is the source of death? You find it in the same place. It has the same root. Sin has entered. How concerned we ought to be. How strongly we ought to feel about these things. Think about this. Think about your life. The frailty of your life. This is how David felt. My life is so frail. It just feels that I'm only a step from death. I don't feel strong. I feel so weak. Life is at its best and the strongest is frail. You see strong men. You see young men die. So quickly, all you have to do is to visit hospitals. All you have to do to go and see reality, what is going on in people's lives. So quickly, people are surprised, people are amazed. I think about Samson. Samson, we read in the Bible, he was miraculously made strong by God. And yet he said at one point, he said if he was to be shaven, he said then his strength will go. And then he uses this expression, he says, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. He was referring to the strongest man, and he says, when I lose my supernatural strength, I will become just any other man. He felt his weakness and he said, even the strongest of men in this world, they are really, without God, weak and frail. And so that's the condition of man. Man at his physical best is weak and frail. And that's how David felt. But also think about life's brevity. This was going through David's mind, my life is so short. The short, limited span of our lives, friends, is plainly emphasized in the Word of God. How is it seen in the Bible? By the way the Bible measures our life. By the expressions about how long our life will be. For example, the Bible uses the terms like the life of man is like days, uses the expressions of days. How quickly a day passes. And so you have words like this from Psalm 90 and verses 10 and 12. We read, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of his strength they be 80 years, yet in their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Or in Job, we read in Job 14 and verse 1, man that is born of a woman is of few days, not few years, but days. This is how the Bible describes it, measures it by days, shows the shortness of it. And so it goes on to say, and these days are full of trouble. Short days. In other places, it refers to simply months, a few months, then pass away. But then the Bible uses various pictures to describe life and shows how short it is, not just by days or months, but uses pictures like vapor, like a steam that comes out of your kettle. How long does it last? Seconds, and it is gone. It uses the term like life is like grass that is cut down, that fades away. It refers to life as simply a wind. How long can you hold the wind that is blowing in your hand? You cannot catch it. It goes away quickly. It's gone. The Bible uses the picture of a flower. Life is like a flower which is soon cut down. All of these things are short-lived. Life at best is very brief. And also, then there is uncertainty. Life is very uncertain. David here sensed this. I can't tell you. I'm not sure that if I will live. No, there is a step between me and death, he says. The uncertainty of life is that we have absolutely no guarantee of one more second of time. No man is sure of life, Job tells us. We read in the words of Solomon in Proverbs, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We cannot pretend, we cannot presume tomorrow. He says, don't boast about it. Don't say that you are going to do this, you are going to do that. That is what we read in James. There are people who say, I will do this, I will surely do that. He says, don't speak like that. If the Lord will, I will do so and so. And all of these verses, they are warning us of our inability to tell what a day will bring forth, what if we will have a day ahead of us. Therefore, there is about our lives an uncertainty. There is a sense of uncertainty. An uncertainty that affects our entire relationship to our earthly existence. How is that? There are two ways that this is uncertain. We don't know how long we will live. And we do not know when we will die. We don't know when we will die. If only we knew that. And also we don't know how long we will have. These are the things that makes our lives uncertain. Now, when you combine all of these features of life, you say, it is frail. You see the brevity of it. It is short. You see the uncertainty of it. How long will I have? And so you are taught in all of these things that there is but a step between us and death. And all of these things God shows to you very graciously. God shows you to you and says, you sinners, sin has entered in and you do not know how long you will have. Death is certain, but you do not know when it will happen. And yet I have sent for you my son. Jesus Christ. I have sent him so that he might give you eternal life, that your soul will live forever. And so there is this urgency that we ought to be diligent. We have to attend at these things. The means of grace, the reading of the Bible, praying and seeking the Lord to save us, to seek Christ. And then, moving on, what follows his concern? He says that there is but a step between me and death. Remember that steps vary in length. Sometimes you take short steps, small steps. Sometimes you take long steps. How long will it be? As far as David was concerned, he lived for over 40 years after this incident. So it was a long step, as it turned out. But when he spoke, he could not have said that he would survive another hour. He didn't believe that he would live long at all, since his life was full of hazard and danger. Therefore, in the face of being confronted by the constant threat of death, David took measures to preserve his life. And when you read on, you will see that how he tried to preserve his life from his enemy. And so we are taught something here, that since we don't know the length of the step between us and death, we ought to attend diligently to our eternal preservation. That's something we ought to take to our heart. I need to think seriously. I need to concentrate to preserve my soul. That's the sequel to a true concern of soul. What comes, if you are concerned, what comes is to seek to be preserved. How is that possible? How can a man seek to be preserved and saved? The only salvation that is found is in the way God has already provided. God has provided for us a means of escape, a means of hiding ourselves in His safety. And that is in Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus Christ paid the price for us, so that we might hide ourselves in Him. Friends, remember, death, the Bible says, is that enemy, the last enemy. Because as noted, it came with the entrance of sin. And death for man is most unnatural. That's why it is an enemy. God did not make us to die. So naturally and instinctively, we shrink from it. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to think about it. We want to run away from death. And so what we would do, rightly so, we would try to maintain our health. We try to be fit. And we try to do things so that we might live as long as possible. And there is nothing wrong with that in its place, to be fit and to be healthy and so on. But this is wisdom. To first seek to have a healthy soul in the presence of God. To be saved. To be right with God. That's the thing that you and I ought to strive after. To find salvation. David did everything he could to preserve himself. And we ought to do everything we can to preserve ourselves. But there is only one way to be preserved. And as I said, it is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can be saved through faith and repentance. And so the things that David did preserved him for 40 years into the future by God's grace. David's wise plan to preserve his physical life, it illustrates the need for us to take certain steps that will result in the spiritual preservation and salvation of our immortal souls. Remember, while every sinner, if the Lord tarries and waits longer, will eventually take that final step and die physically. Yet we will be facing a greater and more terrible death, eternal death. And so, my friends, if we are unconverted, we are spiritually dead now, and we are dying physically. And these are realities. These are the things we cannot escape from. We can try to ignore them, but they will catch us up. Therefore, we must take steps to preserve our souls, that we might be saved from that final, eternal death. So great a death, the Bible says. Now, when you think about this, I want us to think about these points. First of all, it must be an individual preparation. You must prepare yourself individually. David himself, as noted, was concerned about himself, spoke of the danger, and took steps to his own preservation. It was an individual preparation. Jonathan did not believe this at the beginning, that there was any danger. And it is this case that there are many people who would say to you, no, there are no dangers. These things are foolish notions and ideas. Don't be stirred up about these things. No, my friends, you must seek the mercy of God yourself. And there is that immediate preparation. David attended to these matters at once. He straight away, when he knew about these things, after this conversation with Jonathan, he immediately prepared himself. And so must we. When you are made aware of your danger, you must prepare yourself at once. You don't know how long you will have. You do not know when that enemy will meet you. And so we must immediately seek the Lord. It would be the greatest folly to delay, since you do not know the length of your life and you do not know when it will end. And so the command of the Scripture is this, and its consensus is this, that you should seek the Lord immediately, because there is a step between you and life as well. There's a step between you and Jesus Christ as well. Christ is near. When the gospel is preached, Christ is there. And so he offers himself to you. He says, take my hand. Take me as your Savior. Believe in me. Don't let me pass by you this another Sunday. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. This is the call of God. This is the advice and counsel of the Spirit of God. Young boys and girls, seek Him now with all your heart. You children, seek Him now. Ask yourself, why am I not converted? Christ has been coming to me. My parents have been teaching me. They've been praying for me. I must believe Him now. I don't want to die. I want to know the Savior. Remember now, thy Creator in the days of thy youth, the Bible says. Remember Him now. Don't let your heart become cold and be used to these words. If you want to save your life, you're so concerned. At times, you boys and girls, I tell you this, you easily get upset about certain things. But what about your soul? Your tooth becomes wobbly, and you won't let anyone touch it. And you're all in full of pain, and you're worried about these things. Something else happens, and you're so worried about it. But what about your soul? Be concerned about that. Seek Him with all urgency. You who are older, how long will you carry on? How long will you have? Your time is naturally short. And then finally, very quickly, you think about the seriousness of his concern. The seriousness of his concern. David knew that should Saul, his enemy, lay hands on him, his life would be gone, never to be recovered. And that step could not be retraced. We talk about this, don't we? We use the expression, retracing our steps. But there is one step. The step between us and death, which when taken, you cannot revert it. You cannot undo it. You cannot go back and do it again to repeat it. It cannot be repeated when you die. So it is the final step. And it will mark the passing of the last portion of your time on this earth. And so there will be no more time and there will be no more opportunity. And then it is a formidable step. It entails a confrontation with a great enemy. You against death. There is that step between you and death. You will have to face that enemy. But you are not no match for it. You are no match for death. You will not win over death. Only one, there was one who won. Jesus Christ. Who took up his life again. That's a wonderful subject. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. How he arose. There's only one person who could do that. And he was God. The Son of God. You see, we cannot win over death because we have broken the law of God. Because we are under the penalty of God's law. And death is the penalty of it. The wages of sin is death. And so it is inescapable. Sinners will be dashed helplessly out of this world into the next. Job tells us something horrific. In Job 18 and verse 18 we read, "He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world." What a thing. To be chased out of the world. That's death. It is a fearful step, my friends. When taken without Christ, then it is to face the King of Terrors, the Bible says. Again, Job 18, we read in verse 14, "His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the King of Terrors." It's time, my friends, to take serious concern, to give serious concern to this issue of saving of your soul. Christ says to you, yes, there is a step between you and death. Yes, that is true, but I offer you eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That step will be taken, but there will be no perishing, but have everlasting life. That is what God says to us. And what a wonderful thing it is. So the message of the gospel tonight is, there's a step, my friends. Step, not with death, but with life. May God bless his word. Amen.